The Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society Podcast.
Welcome to the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society, a podcast dedicated to suspense, crime, and horror stories from the golden age of radio. I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Joshua.
We love mysterious old-time radio stories, but do they stand the test of time? That's what we're here to find out.
In December of 2017, we each selected Christmas-themed episodes to listen to, and I chose an adaptation of Charles Dickens' other ghost story, The Signalman. The story doesn't inherently have a Christmas theme, but ghost stories are a bit of a holiday tradition in Britain.
23 years after publishing A Christmas Carol, Dickens published The Signalman in the 1866 Christmas edition of the literary magazine All the Year Round. It was part of an anthology called Mugby Junction, which featured stories about the rail lines that extend from that junction.
The story was adapted by several series, including Lights Out, Hall of Fantasy, Columbia Workshop, and Nightfall. Suspense adapted the story for radio three times. The first featured Agnes Moorehead and aired March 23, 1953. It returned in November of 1956, featuring Sarah Churchill, and then again in February 1959, featuring Ellen Drew.
Given how many adaptations of the story exist, I thought it'd be fun to make a holiday tradition of listening to a different version each December or January. Our first year, we listened to the suspense version from 1956 with Sarah Churchill. The year after that, we listened to Columbia Workshop's version. Next, we listened to Beyond Midnight's adaptation, followed by the Lights Out version, and then we returned to suspense for the adaptation starring Ellen Drew from February 1959. 2 years ago, we checked out Nightfall's take from December of 1982, and last year we listened to an even more recent adaptation from Seeing Ear Theater.
But for our eighth year, we're going back for the Weird Circle adaptation. 78 episodes of The Weird Circle were recorded in the RCA studios in New York between 1943 and 1945. The series is largely remembered for its distinctive introduction, in which the announcer calls for the bellkeeper to toll the bell to indicate that the listeners had once again joined them in The Weird Circle. They first broadcast their version of The Signalman, which they chose to call The Thing in the Tunnel, on March 4th, 1945.
It's late at night, and a chill has set in. You're alone, and the only light you see is coming from an antique radio. Listen to the sounds coming from the speaker. Listen to the music, and listen to the voices.
Restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell, so that all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Phantoms of a world gone by speak again their immortal tale, The Thing in the Tunnel.
Listen. That's the long moaning whistle of the through express, wailing through the lonesome night, crying like a lost and anguished soul in the mountains. Listen to it. I've heard that mournful crying for 10 years. And each time it reminds me of McGregor. Yeah? Reminds me of McGregor. My name's Kelsey, Howard Kelsey. I live out here solitary and alone because I like it. I hear nothing but the wind and the passenger and freight trains roaring through the canyons and the arroyos of the Clearwater Range. And, of course, myself. I'm a lonely man, sure. I got too many memories. Ah, there she comes. She's through the tunnel now. The Statesman Express. 12-car Pullman roaring like a blast of thunder for home. Ah, McGregor. McGregor, are you flagging her through once more? I met McGregor by accident. In those days, I was new to this country, and I lived here with a fellow named Pike, an old-time prospector. He had a voice of sandpaper and a heart of stone. He didn't like me, and I didn't like him. But prospecting kept us together for a time. Nonetheless, we went out separately, and sometimes 2 or 3 days went by before we saw each other again. I first met McGregor on one of those trips. I'd come through some valley in the Clearwater Range, and just as day was beginning to fall, I found myself on top of a steep embankment, overlooking a gleaming set of rails. The air was dead silent, the mountains around me purple and velvet soft in the setting sun. It was all so still and so silent that, well, for a moment I felt the whole world had died. But just then, suddenly, I saw somebody move down by the tracks. I cried, "Hello, below there! Hello!" Well, the man spun about and stared up the track in the opposite direction. I called again, "Hello, below there! Hello!" The man spun about again, and this time he saw me. "How do I get down there?"
"Over to your left. There's a path."
"All right, thanks. I'll be down in a minute." The whistle called just as I began to descend. A rumble filled the air. And just as I reached the rail bed, I saw the tunnel hewn out of mountain rock. And plunging from the tunnel's mouth, like some black, terrible monster, roared a train. Tore by me in a deafening roar. And then when it was past, directly opposite, on the other side of the track, stood the man I'd just called. And he was staring at me strangely. He was short and dark-skinned, and his eyes were sunk deep in his head. He wore a sheepskin coat and an old fedora, and he was holding a signal flag. "Hello. My name's Kelsey."
"Hello."
"I was just kind of wandering, and, well, I saw you, and I called, and..."
"I work here."
"Oh. Well, kind of lonely, isn't it?"
"It is."
"What do you do?"
"Don't you know?"
"What?" "Well, should I?" "Oh, the flag. Signalman, huh?"
"And telegrapher."
"I see. Say, look, if I'm breaking any regulation by being here, I mean, well, you look as if I..."
"I was thinking that maybe I've seen you before."
"Where?"
"Over there."
"By the tunnel now?"
"Yes."
"But good Lord, man, I've never seen it before. I didn't even know you had a tunnel here." "Well, don't you believe me?"
"I think so. My name is McGregor."
"I'm glad to meet you, McGregor."
"My signal shack's just down the road. I've got some coffee inside. I'd be glad to share some. Like you said, it's lonely here. Very lonely." "You see, coffee's ready."
"Well, can I help or get cups or something?"
No, I'll get them. "Tell me, why did you shout what you did when you were on the embankment?"
"What did I shout?"
"Hello, below there. Hello." Those were the exact words.
"Well, I don't know why I shouted them, especially."
"Are you sure? You had no reason? I mean, Did you feel that somebody or something was making you shout just those words?
No. What makes you think that something did?
They might have.
Who might have? Say, look, are you all right, McGregor?
I'm all right, fine. It's just...
Just what?
Look, listen to me. Don't think I'm crazy. You mustn't...
Oh, why should I think
you're crazy? It's just... Well, when you see something, it's there, isn't it? I mean, it's real when you can see it and hear it. It's not a dream or a nightmare when you can see it there night after night. It's real, isn't it? Isn't it?
What in the world are you talking about? Put that coffee down. Over here. You'll spill it. Hey, you'd better put it down and answer your key. Say, look. What's the matter with you? What are you staring at that telegraph key like that?
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Leave me alone. Let me out. Let me out.
McGregor. Well, I stood there in the little shack, dumbfounded. And by the time I roused myself out of it, McGregor was coming back. He came into this shack, and his face was haggard, and his eyes strained wide and unseeing. He shut the door.
It's gone.
What's gone? What are you talking about, McGregor? Are you sick or something?
It was there. I saw it. Why does it come back? Why?
Now look, sit down, man. Calm yourself. You're not yourself. You'd better answer your telegram.
I can't. There's no one to answer. It's him that's doing it.
But who is him?
Can't you understand it? It's a warning. An accident signal. And he's sending it. He's sending
it. Now listen to me. This can't go on.
Stands there night after night in the tunnel's mouth, and he shouts frantically, "Hello below there! Hello! Look out! Clear the track! Clear the track!" Been going on for a week now, standing there and shouting in such an agony.
Where's the wind you've been hearing,
it's
man?
It's not the wind, it's him. Him. He's outside now in the tunnel mouth.
You've been dreaming things.
Then look for yourself. Look for yourself.
I will. Well, I walked up the tracks toward the tunnel. And then I saw it. I stopped dead. And I stared. And there... There, standing in the tunnel's mouth, wrapped in an eerie radiance, stood a figure. I could see him clearly. One hand waving frantically, and the other hiding his face. And I could hear his voice, like something out of the tomb, pleading.
Hello, below there. Hello. Look out. Look out. Clear the track. Clear the track.
And again that train whistle moaned amongst the hills. And all the time I watched him, he stood there waving, dressed in what seemed to be a short coat and a beaver hat.
Look out! Clear the track! Clear the track!
McGregor! Bring a lantern, McGregor!
Why? He gives his own light.
Bring out a lantern. We're going up to him. He must be real. And McGregor brought out a lantern. And up the twin gleaming rails we moved. The lantern cast a wan pool of light about us. And as we walked, it shook madly, running long, sharp shadows at our feet. And it was cold, so cold, my body shivered. My hands were as nervous as an old man's hands. And now the voice of the thing in the tunnel got louder and louder, and it was sepulchral, hollow sounding, and torn with grief.
Look out! Look out! Look out!
McGregor, do you know him? Do you know him at all?
No. He's not real. All week he stood there and called.
Clear the track! Clear the track!
He's waving his arm in such a frenzy.
He's warning me. He's warning me. But of what?
Hello,
of what?
Below there. Hello!
When we are close to him, seize him.
Yes. Yes. Seize him. I'll seize him.
Stop it, McGregor. Do you hear me? Stop.
Yes, I'll stop. I'll stop.
Pull yourself together, man. We'll be near him in a few moments.
I'll try. That whistle. Where's that whistle from? No train's due now.
McGregor.
What?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Look out below there. Look out. Clear the tracks. Clear the track.
Now.
I've got it.
What?
He's gone. It's gone, Kelsey.
Down the tunnel, quick.
Yes. Vanished under my hands. Like a puff, he disappeared.
Come on, McCracken. In the tunnel. Come on. Look sharp, McGregor. He must be in here. He couldn't disappear like that.
The dead can. The dead can.
Stop it, McGregor. Well, look about. Do you see anything?
You won't find him. You won't. He's not real. You won't find him. You won't. He's dead. He's a ghost, a specter, a vision of death. He's the dead trying to warn me. But of what? Tell me of what? Of what? Of what?
And we did not find the thing in the tunnel. After a while, we went back to the signal shack. McGregor, I said.
Yes?
How long have you worked here?
Some 6 months. Why?
What brought you to this?
I needed a job, and there was one here. The other signalman before me was killed.
Killed?
Yes, a train caught him. Captain Beaver, that was his name.
What?
Eh?
What was his name?
Captain Beaver. That's what they called him, and I can't... What's the matter?
Didn't you notice, McGregor?
Notice what?
His hat. The thing's hat.
What about... Kelsey?
Yes, McGregor. It was a beaver hat. A beaver.
He's there again.
I'm going outside.
Wait, the lantern. I want to see.
Hello, below there. Hello. Clear the track. Clear the track.
Look, McGregor. Look, his hat.
It is, Beaver. I never noticed.
Look out. Look out.
Then it's him. The other signalman come back from the dead. But why? Why? What's he trying to warn me of? Tell me, Kelsey. Tell me. What is the dead trying to say?
At dawn, McGregor's relief came. A young, sullen-looking boy named Carter. They both used a sleeping shack a few hundred yards away from their station, and it was to this shack that McGregor took me. Well, after a while, I fell asleep for, I don't know how long, until...
Kelsey! Kelsey, wake up. It's time. Wake up.
What? What is it? What's the matter?
It's time for me to go on.
Oh, I feel as if I only just fell asleep.
You can stay here if you want to.
No. No, I want to go along.
Well, there's the 9 o'clock express coming through. We better go then.
We left soon after. And when we reached the embankment, evening was coming down. And with each step, I felt my heart thudding. The question loomed in my mind like a flame. Was the thing in the tunnel mouth? Was it there? The evening express screamed again through the hills, and its pitch suddenly seemed lifted to a tense agony. And when we reached the tracks, my eyes were strained with staring. Well, we went up to the shack. Inside, we asked Carter if anything had happened while he was on. Nope, he said, as dull as ever. He shook himself into a heavy Mackinaw and said so long and walked out. We heard his footsteps fading. We listened to them as if they were the last living sounds we'd ever hear. And then they were gone. And we stood in the shack, hearing only the whistle of the express coming down the hills.
Maybe he won't come tonight. Maybe the thing has left us at last.
Maybe.
I dreamed about that all day. Maybe he's given up and I won't ever hear or see him again.
Even though you think it's trying to warn you or something?
Of what? Of what? What's there to be warned of for a whole week? Maybe it's all a lark, a joke. A dead man's joke.
Take it easy, McGregor.
Tell me, Kelsey, please tell me. Am I going crazy? Maybe I'm seeing and hearing all this in my own brain. I can't tell anymore. I can't. I'm so tired. It'd be pleasant to escape, to forget. If I am going crazy...
McGregor, stop it. If you're mad, then so am I. I've seen the thing.
Then what does it want? What does it want? There. There, it's him. It's him again. He's outside. He's come back.
McGregor. I raced out after him. He was standing there between the glistening rails. And in the tunnel mouth,
Wrapped in its unearthly radiance stood the thing, waving and calling.
Clear the tracks. Clear the tracks.
And then I became aware of the faint rumble of a train. The express.
McGregor, get off the tracks! Get off the tracks!
Clear the tracks. Clear the tracks.
I seized McGregor and I pulled him off. And it was just in time. Like an incredible, fiery-eyed monster, the express engine roared out of the tunnel mouth. Thunderously, multiple eyes, it plunged past. And then, unbelievably, it happened. I saw the rear cars as if they were toys suddenly flung, hurtling off the tracks. A fearful grinding and crashing filled the air, and along the embankment there was a turmoil of twisted steel and fire, a sheet of flame leapt up. Smoke poured in billowing clouds from the terrible wreckage. And it screamed, it screamed. The night was torn with the cries of the injured and the dying.
McGregor, get me a telegraph. Call for help. McGregor! McGregor!
So this is what it was warning me about.
Will you get to your key? There are people dying.
Look. Look in the tunnel mouth, Kelsey. Look. The thing. The thing's in the tunnel mouth.
Clear the track. Clear the track.
Kelsey, he's still calling it. He's still warning me. This wasn't it. There's something else. There must be something else.
With the first sign of dawn, it disappeared, faded. And with the first sign of dawn, full emergency aid reached this lonely station. We worked all through the night and early morning. And it wasn't until mid-afternoon that McGregor and I parted company, he to his shack and I to mine. We promised to meet again soon. But it was some 4 days before I saw McGregor again. One morning, I heard some rapping on my door.
Come in.
McGregor.
Hello, Kelsey.
Come in. Shut the door.
He's moved, Kelsey.
Moved?
The thing. He's moved.
He's no longer in the tunnel mouth?
No. It's left it.
Good.
Is it?
Well, isn't it? The thing's not in the tunnel mouth anymore. It's gone. Isn't that...
It's not gone, Kelsey.
What do you mean?
2 nights ago, it moved.
I don't understand, McGregor.
I don't understand it myself, Kelsey. But 2 nights ago, it wasn't in the tunnel mouth. It appeared further down the tracks.
You mean...
I mean it appeared closer to me. And it waved and called to me from its new position. Last night, it appeared even nearer in another position.
But why?
Can't you understand why? It's frantic, Kelsey. Frantic. It can't get me to understand what it wants to warn me of from the tunnel mouth, so it's coming closer. Maybe its time is running out, getting shorter, shorter.
Well, maybe it was only an illusion.
Is the thing itself an illusion? No. I tell you, it's trying to reach me to tell me something, Kelsey.
You mustn't go back.
That's just it. I mustn't stay away. I mustn't.
You've got to stay away.
Can't you see? Maybe what it wants to tell me will ease it. Maybe it's an anguished, damned soul and I can free it. I don't know. Maybe it's about a different accident.
Or what?
Or maybe it's about myself. Maybe it's a message to me alone. Maybe that signalman's come back from the grave just for me. I can't go away, I can't. I've got to wait until it reaches me, until I understand, until I know.
And in the falling dusk, we came down the embankment, hearing at the same time the first signalings of the Northwest Limited, the Statesman, winding through the Clearwater Range. We relieved Carter, and after he had gone, we sat down in the shack. Somehow, this night felt uniquely strange. Later on, I knew why.
Kelsey, I have a brother back east.
Huh?
If anything should happen, let him know. I'll write his address.
Now stop that nonsense, McGregor.
It's not nonsense. I feel it tonight. There's something... You let him know, please. You will, won't you?
Well, this is foolish. All right, I will. But nothing's going to happen.
That's the Statesman. It's in the canyon now. I wish I were on it. Going past, never stopping. I wish... Kelsey.
Yes?
Why don't the dead lie still? Haven't they had enough of living? What insane desire drives them back again?
If you don't leave off these ideas...
The telegraph key's all right, isn't it?
Why?
See if the key's all right, Kelsey. Try it, tap it.
Now, McGregor...
No. See? He has to be able to reach me. If the key's not working, how can he? Tap it.
Well, all right. There. It's fine. It works fine.
And it's strange. Where is he?
Where are you going?
Outside. I've got to see.
Now, will you please come?
Something wrong, I know. I've got to reach. I've got to...
McGregor! McGregor, the key!
Signalman. Captain Beaver. Where are you? The guy, McGregor. Where are you, Signalman?
He was calling. Calling the thing. And all at once, I was seized with terror. I ran out. There in the moonless night, I saw McGregor walking up the tracks, moving slowly, calling. Walking like a lonely, bewildered hunter in the immense starry night of the mountains.
Where are you, Captain Beaver? I'm coming. Where are you?
But something was wrong, because the thing was not visible. Even McGregor was aware of it. He halted uncertainly for a moment, his head turning in all directions.
Can't you find me, Captain Beaver? McGregor, looking for you. Is something wrong? Tell me. What should I do? Tell me.
The train, McGregor! The train! And then suddenly, as if it were a trick of magic, the air flared luridly beside McGregor and the thing stood there. McGregor touched it.
Captain Beaver. Captain Beaver, I'm here. What is it? Tell me. What are you trying to tell me?
Look out. Clear the track. Clear the track.
And again the whistle blasted the air. I saw McGregor staring, fixing me. Face to face with the thing, as if he were listening. I saw the thing waving and shouting, but all at once, I did not hear its words. And I knew. I knew that it was speaking to McGregor. Now I know what the thing was trying to warn McGregor of. And McGregor knew it, too. He found it out too late. The train and his own death. I saw McGregor's face contort with horror as he listened to the thing. And then suddenly he spun around, staring wild with fear at the tunnel. And plunging, like a cyclopean-eyed monster, the train roared down. The whole picture in that moment burned into my brain. The thunderous locomotive, McGregor transfixed with horror, and the eerie gesticulating thing. And then the engine was upon it. They stopped the train a few hundred yards below the accident, but there was nothing much to find and less to recognize. I stood unmoving for a while. This was what the thing had tried to warn McGregor of. This. His own death. The kind of accident that had occurred to the thing itself once upon a time. I remember still the last time I saw it. It stood where the train had struck McGregor down, wrapped in its own radiance, holding its bowed head in its hand as if weeping, grieving that its warning had so tragically failed. Ah, listen to it. Listen to it. Forlorn and sad. Go ahead. Blow, engineer. Blow. Lament for McGregor. Sorrow for McGregor. Even the dead, the ghost of Captain Beaver, grieved.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, The Thing in the Tunnel. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
From the time-worn pages of the past,
We have heard another immortal tale in the Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in the Weird Circle.
That was The Thing in the Tunnel, a.k.a. The Signalman from Weird Circle here on the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society podcast. Once again, I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Captain Beaver.
Oh, happy holidays, everybody. This tradition continues on. A number of things I would like to start out with in this discussion. First and foremost, I can never remember, was it the Ellen Drew version that we all really loved, or was it the Sarah Churchill? Sarah Churchill, and Ellen Drew's was the terrible version.
I did not care for that one at all.
We didn't like that. Sarah Churchill we loved, and then last year's, if I remember correctly, we hated it a lot, right?
There was a lot of flaws.
So let me just start this off with, I'll just throw a little hand grenade in the room here. This, by far, is the best adaptation of Signalman that we've ever had.
Wow.
I knew it'd be a hand grenade.
That was not the hand grenade I thought you would throw.
I know. By far, I enjoyed this for a lot of reasons that are really aimed at me reasons.
Because they literally explain everything.
Yes.
And give a comic book secret origin to
yes.
who the Phantom is.
Yes. Ugh. Loved it.
They removed all mystery.
Yep.
All suspense.
Oh, Scooby-Doo.
It really was.
Yeah.
Here's where I think this would have been brilliant.
Okay.
At the beginning, for reasons that are of no real narrative import later, I thought it was significant because they took the time to mention it, that our narrator at this time was living with another prospector named Pike, who he did not like. I honestly got to the point in this adaptation, you brought up Scooby-Doo, where I thought, this is a prospector who is disguising himself yeah. as a phantom to scare them away from the railway tunnel where there is gold.
That would have been sweet. That's a great adaptation. They pull the mask off, the rubber mask off him. I am going to clarify, somewhat defend, and acknowledge some things right now. I am well aware of how much pablum has just been fed to me in this episode of really spelling it out, adding things that were never there, making it really streamlined and coherent, not having me have to think or decide for myself or what could that possibly have been. I love the original story. I love all of those elements of the Signalman. I want to be clear. I love the what's going on and the scariness and the suspense of that and the ookiness of that. There's something about this adaptation that just, I went, oh yeah, that's it. Just keep moving forward and keep explaining things and let me just not have to stop and go, what now? There are versions of this that have really complicated that and made it even more convoluted than Dickens even intended. There have been versions, the Sarah Churchill version, that I thought really did a nice job of staying true to the original story, keeping that open-endedness of things, keeping that scary, and yet a great performance and also followable. There's some that have been horrifyingly unfollowable. Only thing that saved me was, I know this story. If I hadn't, I would have been lost. But I love this. I will tell you the one thing I didn't like. The actor playing the main guy. I loved their intent to this, right? And how they wrote this. And
if they wanted to update it, it's somewhat contemporary, right? It's set in
absolutely.
The United States.
I didn't enjoy the lead actor, our narrator's performance. It
did not match the signalman himself, who I thought was really good. I thought he was
the only problem in this version when it's so explicit, he's an idiot. Literally at the end of this, the Phantom puts his head in his hands and cries because the guy is so stupid that he could not understand the very explicit warning.
Clear the rails.
Literally, there is a train screaming down at you right now.
But
face
I think
in the coat.
I think the confusion for him though was that the train that he was warning him of every night never showed up until that final night. Do you know what I'm saying? That he was out there warning him, and and no train comes. Mm-hmm. And so I think he was, the confusion of what are you trying to say to me worked for me in the sense of, well, there is no train, so just leave me alone.
I'm gonna pat myself on the back for what wasn't really a plan and say the best time to listen to this adaptation is the 8th version you're going to hear. Yeah. Because listening to it, I had the response of like, what is happening? What is happening? They've gone so far, as it were, off the rails. I had a whole set of expectations of what this would be, and this is none of it.
Right. Well, hence why they changed the title of it, too, because it's inspired by it. Would you not say that that's fair?
Yes, but also it stays too close to it, because honestly, when I first started listening to it, I was captivated by the potential of transporting it, as our episode last year did as well, to the United States. And then they are clearly, by the dialogue and diction, they are contemporizing it. It was 10 years earlier, so at most this is set in the 1930s.
Beaver hat still viable.
Still viable, yes.
Right.
And it seemed like they were doing something with it. So I was like, ooh. Ooh, and that, you know, the train sounds, those are nice. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of a sense of pathos with the narrator about how he's never left this spot after what he encountered. And I'm like, oh, is this going to be a let's turn the signalman into sort of an American folk tale? Is this kind of Johnny Cash's the signalman? And I was like, yeah. And then it was like Captain Beaver. And I was like, I'm out. I was like, nope, this is just ridiculously on the nose to the point that it actually becomes more convoluted, I think, by explaining so many things.
Hmm.
The tragedy of the signalman is this miscommunication between the living and the dead.
Yeah.
And here, when you make the communication on one level so explicit, but keep the notion of miscommunication, you make everyone seem stupid.
Think of your favorite food.
Yeah.
Now, you're super hungry.
I am so hungry now.
Yeah. I'm very hungry right now. Yeah. This is our fifth recording.
Right.
We're about to draw straws for like a cannibalism situation here.
Imagine that moment when you're really hungry and it's your favorite thing in the world, and you start eating it and you're like, oh, yeah, right? You know that? That's how I feel with how ridiculously on the nose this is.
Yeah, no.
I went, yeah. Oh, no, my God.
After 7 years, I'm like, I kind of, good.
Good. Just write it. I'm going to tell you something really fascinating. I don't know if it's really fascinating. I just set that up for failure. I'm going to just tell you something.
I killed transient.
Here we go. He says, you hear a train start in the distance, and he says, that's the 9 o'clock, or that's not supposed to be here. It doesn't matter. Yeah. There's a train in the middle of this. Well, there's a lot, but there's a particular moment. At the exact moment that that train in the recording pulled and blew the whistle, and we could hear it on the tracks, I live a block and a half from a train.
Oh.
And it happened simultaneously. And as the train is bearing down on them, my train in my next to my house is bearing down on me. And as it what happens, that the thing falls off the tracks, the last car, right?
Oh, yeah, the car is all tumble mm-hmm. like toys.
And it's all loud in that recording. It's the exact moment that the train going by my house was at its apex of how loud it gets, which my neighbors, when I moved in, they said, well, the only thing, it's a great place, but the only thing is that train. And Shannon and I looked at each other with huge eyes. There's a train. And three times a day, this thing goes by, blows its horn, you know, in that distant whistle.
It's mournful.
Mournful. It's far enough away that it's not like, oh, geez, you know, it's just far enough away. And you hear it on the tracks, and I think it's beautiful. And this happened at the same time, and I just sat there going, ah, so let me go back.
Yes, this is a moment of synchronicity.
Yeah, is. Possibly that's why I loved this for that. No, I really did enjoy
Thai food now.
I really did, and I do give it a pass because I know it's, I know what it is, and I know it's not great, and I know it screws everything up, and I know it's on the nose, but I give it that pass because it's not called The Signalman. And even though you said it's still too close to it to be inspired by, I give
it's
it a
exactly
pass.
The Signalman.
But they took liberties
by morons.
But they get away with it because they don't call it The Signalman, so they can be close
no,
to it.
No, they don't.
All right.
Well, but I seriously, love though, what if we all received ranks based on our hats? Major pork pie.
Or just all in the beaver army.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Field Marshal Propeller Beanie reporting for duty, sir.
Oh, that would be me.
Yeah.
If this
Grand Admiral Tierra. I'm going to stop.
If this had been the third version of Signalman we heard, I would be like, this really kind of missed the mark. They didn't get the point of it. But being the eighth, it opened me up to like, it was so unexpected for me and so delightfully wrong.
It is wrong.
That I was open to catching details that I don't know that I would have otherwise. Like, I don't normally think of Weird Circle as being a big sound show, but this was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job with this.
They sure did.
Yeah, the sound was really good. The trains were loud, and the signalmen should have heard them coming before they ran him over.
But he's just so wrapped up. And what do you mean? Clear the rails. What am I supposed to do?
This is typical of the Weird Circle, where they have these really strong instincts. Like, what if we took this tragic derailment that happens in the past,
yes,
in the Signalman, and made it a scene that happens, you know, in front of our ears, as it were, in radio. And they do that, and it's like, wow, that could be exciting. But then they're like, oh wait, this isn't the warning. Anyway, so we cleared the dead bodies and went to sleep, and they just like drop it.
Yeah.
He doesn't live in this tragedy. There's no difference between describing it as something that happened in his past versus portraying it as a scene. It might as well have just not even been in the script.
Yeah, all the things you're saying are like, yeah. Yes, clearly a mistake. The idea of a ghost sends me telegraph messages all the time. That's an important thing that maybe you should be alarmed about.
He's really good at it.
Captain Beaver. I just cannot get past a script that decides, you know what this could use? The Signalman, it's just too sophisticated, and it's just like,
there's a particular market they're probably trying to appeal to.
The beaver market. Yes. Yeah.
The old prospector market that likes to wear weird accoutrement.
So coming up in a few days, months, weeks, whatever, we'll be discussing next year live performances. Well, what I was going to suggest was that next December of 2025, that we perform a version of The Signalman. I'm guessing that it won't be this one.
Well, if we do a live version and do a different live version each year, I'm up for doing this one in 8 years.
Yes, because I will be too old to even know what I'm doing.
You could play Captain Beaver.
And just Captain Beaver.
Clear the rails. Clear the rails. You idiot.
I'm sorry. There's a train that's going to hit you.
You might not be familiar with trains, having worked with them all your life.
So if we were to write our own version, by we, collaboratively, or one of us, whatever, and perform that, I'm getting to another point, and perform that and record it, we could put that up as our ninth year signalman for mm-hmm. the podcast.
Well, right? We're not out of signalmen yet.
That's what I was going to ask.
I think our final signalman should be our version of the signalman.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was my next question. We're not out of signalmen yet?
No.
Oh, I thought that we were out.
Dear Lord, no.
How many more are there?
There's two more that I have in the hopper. Huh? In theory, there are more versions out there.
There are even more. There's some contemporary versions that would not be right for us to put on the podcast.
A little too far out of our...
Oh. Some reason I had it in my head. This was the swan song.
You were hearing...
Close on Weird Circle.
You were hearing the Doors in your head. This is the end.
You might
so,
not...
So I walked on down the hall.
But there is still an Agnes Moorehead version to be done.
Oh, we have not done that one, have
no,
we?
No, we have not.
No. Oh. We're saving that.
That's the prize at the end.
Okay.
I hope it's good.
Agnes Moorhead is playing Captain Beaver.
It can't be better than this one. Nothing gets better than this.
Oh. I have nothing more to say about this episode.
Boy, I'd love
it
to. Can we vote? Because I just want to say, classic.
We all agree on what this show is, and it's just agreed to like, and that's bad, and that should not be something that we award. And I'm like, yeah, yeah.
I loved it. It's a classic. It's not a classic. I loved it for all the wrong reasons. I loved it for its simplicity, for its trimming of fat that you... Okay, you know, when you trim too much fat off of like a pot roast, you're actually taking the flavor
Stop
out.
Stop talking about food.
You shouldn't trim all of it because some of it adds to the flavor. This is trimmed way too much of it, right? It's trimmed and it's redefined meat.
Here, because one thing we've talked about in the past is the story itself is so small that every adaptation has to kind of find some way to kind of like pad it out.
Right.
Say the introduction of characters that don't exist in the story.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed myself knowing full well that I'm going to be the only one, not only in this room, but everybody listening. Nobody liked this. I get it, and I loved it.
That is fair. I would say that this is yet another example of Weird Circle exhuming and desecrating a timeless classic. It strips all ambiguity and pathos out of one of the greatest ghost stories ever written and replaces that with wacky beaver hats and secret origins of ghosts and inexplicable prospectors. I mean, it is simultaneously way too much and way too little. Boo.
What if it had a talking dog?
Maybe it did.
Maybe that was who Captain Beaver was.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
No.
I'm out.
I'm not going to call this a classic. To say it stands the test of time is it's mixed because as an adaptation, it's terrible. Everything that Joshua says, everything that is so subtle and ephemeral and beautiful about the original story is just gone and replaced with an exuberant clown show. But that being the case, it was a really fun clown show. I had a good time.
Yeah. No, I am going to say it's at least a competently done desecration. I found this more enthralling in its awfulness than last year's Signalman.
Yes. I think we
So
will.
That is where I will meet you. That tiny, tiny little step toward you.
Thank you. So we can perform this one?
Absolutely not. I will...
I mean, after we do the Senior Theory one...
Never talk to you again if we perform this.
I'm doing it as a one-man show.
You should. Use your knee cymbals and your... the whole one-man band routine.
Happy holidays, everybody. Tim, tell them stuff.
Please go visit ghoulishdelights.com. You'll find other episodes there, including 7 other versions, maybe more, of The Signalman. If you want to contrast this with other adaptations, it's been a real mixed bag. Some amazing and some disappointing. And you can also leave comments, vote in polls, let us know what you think. You can also, at our website, find at ghoulishdelights.com a link to our store if you want to buy t-shirts or mugs or hoodies. There's swag. Do it. It's awesome. Show your love. And there's also a link to our Patreon page.
Yes, go to patreon.com/themorals and support this podcast. If you give us money, we'll just keep digging up Signalman until the end of time. Yeah, we really appreciate all the support that our Patreons do give us, and we would also really appreciate more. We're never satisfied. That's the truth about us. So, yes, clear the tracks. Bring us money. Hello down there.
What are they trying to say?
I don't know. Go to patreon.com/themorals and support this podcast.
If you'd like to see the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society Theater Company performing live, we do recreations of classic old-time radio drama live on stage and a lot of our own original work. Just go to ghoulishdelights.com to find out where we're performing every month, what we're performing, and how to get tickets. If you can't join us live and be there, we do record them, and being a Patreon gets you access to audio and or video of our live performances. What is coming up next?
Next, we will be going on a Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice holiday. But never fear, guys. We will be sharing with our listeners some Patreon material, particularly to make the stingy among you feel guilty for not supporting us. So in the next couple of weeks, you can look forward to a preview of our second best Patreon episode of last year. If you want to hear the first best, you'll have to become a patron. Until then,
look out!
Captain Beaver, I'm here. What is it? Tell me. What are you trying to tell me?
You idiot! I'm sorry. There's a train that's going to hit you.